My name is Patrick, and I'm the curate here at St. Andrew's Church. Let's just pray for a moment before I speak. Father God, thank you for your word to us through the book of Nehemiah. Open our ears to hear from you and our hearts to respond to you and your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not that long ago, but on the night of the 7th of November 2020, as the United States presidential election results came in and showed that the Democrats had won and Joe Biden had been elected president, the vice president-elect, Kamala Harris, made a speech to supporters who were gathered in Wilmington, Delaware, who were celebrating their candidate's election victory after a long, challenging, and not uneventful campaign. And there was cause for celebration, indeed. The task that they had set out for had been achieved. Their party had won. It had finished with success. Praising the hard work and the dedication of all those gathered supporters and people who were watching online and on TV, Kamala Harris, in her victory speech that night, said this: "Now is when the real work begins. The hard work, the necessary work, the good work, the essential work, to unite our country and to heal the soul of our nation. The road ahead will not be easy, but America is ready, and so are Joe and I." Well, you could be forgiven for expecting that the book of Nehemiah might have finished last week, as the wall was completed, and it was a bit like that election night. There was a moment of celebration, a moment of the task that had been set out to be completed had been done. The wall had been completed. All of those trials, all of those tribulations, all of those challenges, oppositions along the way had come to an end. Because of the strategy, the leadership, the commitment of the community to the task that God had set before them. And perhaps through chapters 6 and 7, we might have had that sense of that election night. The task seems to have been done. Yet, just before our reading from today, in chapter 7, verse 4, we have this little verse that indicates that the work is not yet over. It's said in that verse, chapter 7, verse 4, it says, "The city is wide and secure, but," the text laments, "there are few people and no houses have been built." The people of God are missing from the city of God. And through chapter 7, we hear how they're assembled and returned. And now as we reach chapter 8, we reach a turning point, and Ezra takes the spotlight in the narrative. And we see that now is when the real work begins. To unite God's people and to heal the soul of a nation. But it's not Joe Biden and Kamala Harris that are doing the work. God's task, his work amongst his people through Nehemiah and Ezra, is to not just rebuild the wall of the city for its own sake, but to rebuild his people to a renewed, revitalized spiritual life. The rebuilding of the wall is part of that task, and now that it is rebuilt, it allows the people to return. But it's only the beginning of the work of their return. The return to their city marks the start of their return to their God. And as Ezra takes the stand here, we see the tools that are used in the spiritual rebuilding of God's people, much as in the previous chapters we've heard about the tools that have been used for the physical rebuilding of the wall. And what word, or what tool do we hear that is being used? Well, it's God's word that is being used as a tool to rebuild his people. And as God's word is read aloud, the people gather, and the word and the people come together, and they meet in prayer and worship. Now, this is not the first time that God's people have had a spiritual renewal. And you can read about other spiritual renewals, mostly in the second book of Chronicles, and under the leadership of Asa and Hezekiah and Josiah, there are other spiritual reawakenings, spiritual rebuildings of people. But the characteristics are always strikingly similar that underpin the spiritual restoration of God's people. There's a priority, a prioritizing of God's word amongst his people. There's a response of prayer and worship, and there's repentance, confession, as people reorder their lives and the life of their community into the way that God would have it be. The people refocused and rededicated to living rightly with their God. And that's what we see here in chapters 8 and 9 of Nehemiah. It begins with God's word being spoken out amongst his people, and then moves through as people encounter their God through his word. The spiritual rebuilding happens as people encounter God through his word. We find that, don't we, today, as we open ourselves up to God's work in us through his word too. And as Ezra takes the stand and he reads from the book of the law, everyone gathers. It says men, women, and all who could understand. So that's children as well. The whole community gather together. The text is interpreted. It's explained by that group of people who Francis very nobly pronounced the names of, and I won't. Probably because the text was in Hebrew, but the everyday language of people at that time was Aramaic, so there would have been a bit of a challenge for them to understand the text. Greater testament to their dedication to listen to it for 6 hours being read aloud, I think, as well. So the people gathered, they gained insight into what God was saying. They were committed to hearing from God as a community. There was a commitment to engaging with the word of God and understanding it, not just hearing it, but understanding it, allowing it into their minds and into their hearts. This moment, as people gather and listen, is the turning point for God's people in the restoration and renewal of their identity as the people of God. They place themselves receptive and ready to hear from God before his word spoken out by Ezra, the scribe, the priest. And it's brought to life in their hearing. It makes a profound change in their whole community. They've asked for the word to be read to them, and then we hear later on that they're mourning and weeping. It's found its way into their heart. They've allowed it to do something. They've allowed it to connect with them. It's brought to life in their hearing and understanding. They're moved to respond because they've realised that they have neglected God's law. So they begin to mourn and weep, as the text said. But they're instructed not to, but to instead observe the festival of tabernacles, which is the festival that celebrates God's presence and faithfulness to his people. As they gather together, they celebrate God's presence and faithfulness to his people, as they have heard in the book of the law. As we gather together, we, in our communion, as we celebrate God's presence with us, we use words of celebration too. The Lord is here, we say. His spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. God's presence amongst his people is first to be received and celebrated in prayer and in worship. And as we move through the chapter, we see that as they worship and pray, they're moved towards a repentant response. They are able to see where they truly are as God's people and move towards reordering their life into the shape that God would have it be as a community. As they meet with God in worship, he shines a light on the reality of their situation, where they are and where he is. And as they come to him in confession, they are open and honest with God about where they are and who he is. And here, honesty and openness before God is really the key to their transformation. If you've ever been on a journey and tried to read a map as you walk through an unfamiliar territory, really the greatest skill in map reading isn't working out where you should be, it's working out where you really are on the map. It's not working out where you want to be or where you think you ought to be, but working out where you actually are. If you work out where you are on the map, the journey becomes a lot easier. If you make a mistake about where you are, you get yourself in all sorts of trouble. If you get that right before the Lord, if we acknowledge where we really are before the Lord, if we confess before the Lord, the journey from that point is much more straightforward. So as the people confess and they repent, that is, they turn their lives to the right direction, we see that they want to hear more again. They've already heard 6 hours of reading from the book of the law, but they want to hear more again, and they spend another 6 hours listening to scripture being read and being taught. They dedicate more time to God in prayer. They've had 7 days of festival, 6 hours a day of reading, 24 days, it says later, they ask again to hear. The real work of spiritual renewal and restoration is founded on their receiving God's word and allowing it to do its work in their hearts, and their reordering of their lives according to what they have heard and what they have received from God. In the New Testament, Jesus is called the Word of God. And since Jesus' incarnation, he is the primary way that God wants to show himself to humanity. If we want to know what the Word of God is, we look to Jesus. One of the writers of the New Testament in the book of Hebrews says, what we have known in part through the law and the prophets, we can know in full in Jesus. Like the law and the prophets, like scripture that has been read aloud amongst the community of faith in the book of Nehemiah, Jesus himself communicates God's person, character, and intention towards humanity. The writer of Hebrews again says, in former times, God spoke to our ancestors by the law and the prophets, but now he has spoken to us by his Son. Now that sounds a bit like they're setting one up against the other, but Jesus himself says he's not come to do away with the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. They're not different things. Jesus' life and words show us what God wants to tell us about himself and what he wants for humanity, in the same way that the law and the prophets do. If we want to know what God wants us to know about who he is and who we are, we look to Jesus. We encounter the fullness of God's word in Jesus. And when we engage with the word of God revealed in Christ, in scripture and by the Spirit, we find, like that community of faith in the book of Nehemiah, that God's word is living and active. It's not something that we just hear and doesn't make a difference. It's something that is at work amongst us and is able to renew us as individuals and as a community. Throughout the Gospels, throughout the history of the church, in our own lives and in the lives of those amongst us, we see that Jesus is God's living and active word and is able to renew the lives of all those who encounter him and allow him to do his work in their hearts. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says that a wise person is like the one who builds their house on a rock. And he explains that by saying, whoever listens to what I say and puts it into practice, that is, whoever hears the word of God and allows it to do its work in their life, is like that wise builder. Now, we all know the story of the wise and the foolish builders, but the difference in that story really isn't the way that they built their house, but it's the foundation upon which they built. Are they building on the solid rock of God's word, or are they building on the world's sinking sand? If we're going to build the life of spiritual renewal that we see in the people in Ezra and through Ezra and Nehemiah, we're going to build our lives on the rock of God's word that is Jesus. As we heard in our reading today, God's word in scripture and in spirit holds up a light to the reality of who we are, holds up a light to the reality of where we are building our life. And renewal for God's people begins with being open to hear God's word to us and honest about where we are before God, ready to confess and reorient our life towards him. In confession, we tell God who we are and how we're really doing. And as we meet him in confession and worship, in worship we tell him who he is. And as he speaks to us in prayer and through scripture, he tells us who we can become in him. When we open our lives before God and found them on the word that is spoken to us through scripture, through the Son and by the Spirit, we too can be restored to fullness of life. Any life, from any starting point, can be restored by God if it's a life open to receive that word, ready to respond to it. Wherever that person is, God will move them to where he would have them be. So I'd like to pray for us now, that we might be like those people that we hear in Ezra and Nehemiah. Father God, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, in scripture, in your Son Jesus, and by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for your word being a living and active force, reshaping and renewing us as your people. Help us, Lord, to be open to encounter you in your word. Help us, Lord, to craft our lives into an obedient response to your word, Lord. And thank you that when our lives are founded on your word, they are solid and will not be shaken. Help us to hear your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.